the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm kind of nervous. I'm saying, wow, am I on the air? Yeah, I'm on the air, and you're listening to, and thanks for listening. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for tuning in. It's always appreciated. It's always appreciated when you download the show, you archive the show right here on Block Talk Radio, when you listen, when you give me your feedback. I mean, that is always welcome, and I want you to know that I totally, totally appreciate it. And I want to thank everybody who has downloaded my new novel, Jesus Christ, Son of Man Returns. A lot of people have did it. A lot of people have done it. A lot of people have downloaded this. And I appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. There's one thing I have to ask of you. Leave a review. Read it and just leave a review on Amazon.com, and that'll be much appreciated. And once again, thanks to everybody who have downloaded the book, the ebook, and those who will download it in the future. And don't forget, I've written so much material that's located on Amazon. Check out all of it, because all of it's great. And I'm not just saying it's great because I've done it. It's just good writing, period. You know, so I'm not putting anybody else down. But thanks. Thank you so much for all of your support on everything that I try to do. Okay? All right, this is George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live from Chicago, and I feel good. It is cold. But before I start talking about how much we are freezing in this city, I want to say something about the Powerball. I mean, as of tonight, January 12th, as of tonight, it is $1.5 billion. I'm pretty sure if you're playing, you already know that. $1.5 billion. I would like to say that I am going to be a winner. You know, I jumped out, ran out, darted out, and got my tickets. I got my tickets. You know, as I went to the store to get the tickets, there were other people in there buying Powerball tickets like I don't know what. There were people in there buying $5 worth, $10 worth, $20, $30 worth of tickets. I only got a few tickets, so. You know, but it's fun being a part of the excitement. This is very exciting. But you know what? I don't think it's any more exciting than IRS. IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, they know somebody is going to win this money. They're just waiting for somebody to win this money. And they are going to get their cut. I mean, maybe half. IRS, they're going to be millionaires. They can't wait for somebody to win this so they can get their cut. The IRS. Somebody ought to do something about the IRS. Maybe they should be demolished or something, you know, taking your money like that. That's crazy. You know, whoever wins the Powerball, more power to them. It's just the fact that IRS is going to be knocking on your door as soon as you kick it in. They are going to be right there for theirs. And that's a shame. That is a shame. That's your money. You played it. You picked the numbers, not IRS. You know, people can argue this or that about the IRS, but I think this is totally unfair. You know, especially if I win. If I win, I'm going to be totally pissed. I'm not going to want to give them a cent. You know, so. But it is so exciting to be a part of the excitement. You know, $1.5 billion. Wow. You got to be living on Mars if you don't go out and get a ticket or two. You know, this is crazy. It is crazy. And this man, just think if someone wins, if one person wins this jackpot, this $1.5 billion, and I can't stop saying it, That person is an automatic billionaire. Billionaire. Oh, man, it is just so, it is just so exciting to be a part of it all. And to be saying, hey, wow, I got my ticket. I may lose, but I'm going to lose big. That way, you know, people can think positive about it. Well, I'm gonna lose, you know, but I'm gonna lose big. If the best way of losing is to lose big, you know. So, I mean, the odd makers all on television and on the internet and all around you and everywhere are saying, well, hey, you probably won't win. Probably not. But it's fun. If I get two or three tickets or four tickets, I'll get something. I mean, yeah, something with maybe with. A few numbers, you know, probably not all six or seven numbers, but it is totally, totally exciting. And I wish everybody out there who's bought a ticket, there's some people who probably not buying a ticket because of their religion, or they're sneaking to buy a ticket because their religion say it's the devil or whatever. But this totally exciting. And I wish everybody out there, again, lots of luck. Also, I wish myself a lots of luck because I've got my tickets. You better get yours. Man, $1.5 billion. And you, if you could see my face right now, you wouldn't believe it. You know, I mean, I'm just ecstatic at this staggering amount. You're talking about the Mega Millions. You're talking about lottery. You're talking about Lotto. Lucky day. They have nothing on this. This is astounding. This is history making. History in itself in the lottery industry. So, you know, so I wish everybody a lot of luck. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the George. I'll probably be talking some more about this tomorrow, okay? Because tomorrow is the drawing, which is Wednesday the 13th, tomorrow night. So I'll keep my fingers crossed for me, and I wish you guys out there a lot of luck, you guys and girls, a hell of a lot of luck if you went out and got your ticket just like I went out and bought my ticket. So we have to move on. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live, always broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois. It is cold, man. Like I said before, we are freezing our butts off here in Chicago. But we are finding ways to keep warm. And it always astounds me when I, you know, realize and see other people out here in this massive, in this cutting and biting cold weather with nothing on their heads. I just don't understand it. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's not stupid. There are a lot of people out here bundling up. But there's a few come out here in this massive, biting, wrenching cold weather with nothing on their heads, and you see them, and you see them, and you know they're freezing. You got young ladies out here walking with their leggings on, pretending, as I said yesterday on the show, pretending as if they're not cold, as if the temperature, the biting cold, doesn't affect them, and you know it does. There are so many times you see young ladies walking out, they'll tell you, well, the reason why I don't have anything on my head, I've got to mess up my hair. Yeah, but your nose is, sweetie. I mean, your nose is freezing. Your ears are red. You're freezing your ass off. Nobody's going to notice you in this frigid weather. They're going to keep walking and try to find someplace warm. And this is not just young ladies. I've seen older men do it. I've seen older women do it. I've seen seniors come out of the house with nothing on their heads in this frigid weather. And then everybody's looking at you because you're bundled up. Because you're bundled up, they're looking at you like you're crazy. You know, so I always tell people, I try to tell people to bundle up in this mess. You're going to wind up, this is flu weather. You wind up getting the flu, you wind up catching a cold or something. You're going to take that cold and that flu right to work with you, and you're going to give it to your coworkers. All because you didn't cover up or you refused to put on a headscarf or something. It's just not worth it. It is not worth it at all. If you're living in a state and the weather is just frigidly cold, cover up. If you know someone that's not covering up, you know, tell them to put on some damn clothes. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. on the air. And all I'm saying is dress for the cold weather, protect yourself, and protect others that are around you. Okay, today I have author Maggie Cass on the show. She is an astounding author. She is the author of, let me see, I'm pretty sure I got it right. She's the author of A Free Unsullied Land, and she's also the author of The Crack Between the Worlds, Dancer Memoir of Loss, Faith, and Family. That should be interesting if I read that right. Okay, we're expecting her maybe around 6:30 or something, but a little later on into the show. I'll put it that way. Okay, now we're moving right along. We got the State of the Union tonight. I believe it's around 9 Eastern time. So once I'm off the show, I'll be able to catch it. I can talk about it tomorrow. But anyway, let me say this. The Republicans are already jumping on Obama before he even utters a word. They're already calling the State of the Union a bust. And they haven't heard it. They haven't heard a word. It hasn't even began yet, and the Republicans are saying, the hell with it. They are something else. These people are just assholes up the rear. I mean, they are totally, I can't think of any other adjective to describe the Republicans. These people are totally assholes. They're going to diss the speech before it even airs. But this is what they've been doing all since Obama's been president. And Obama, the statesman that he is, the nice guy that he is, and he just, you know, boo-hoos it. I couldn't do that. I'd have to tell them before they can get off at it. If I was president of the United States, these guys would not be pushing me around. I mean, they would not be saying all this nasty-ass stuff and getting away with it. Obama's a nice guy, you know, and nice guys finish last. Nice guys get the pie thrown in their faces. Okay, so I will have my insights and put on my analytical hat and, you know, have the my opinions, and we're going to talk about the State of the Union. Just about everybody. I mean, everybody who is anybody is going to be talking about it after it's over. But the only people that's criticizing it before it starts are some of these Republicans. They're crazy. This is why I begged people in yesterday's show, listen to the show, to get out there and vote, because if a Republican gets in, and it's always possible, if a Republican gets in the White House, things are going to change dramatically. And it's not going to be good. It's going to change dramatically, and it's not going to be good. So everybody, 2016, I know some of you guys got religion out there. You got to put that aside, or whatever you got to do. We have to keep the White House in Democratic hands. We also have to do something with the Congress of the United States. We have to get the Republicans out of the United States Senate. We have to get them out of the House of Representatives. Because I've said this before, if you vote for a Democratic president and a Democratic president happens to win the White House, you're going to have to give him people he can work with. A Democratic president and a Republican Congress, this is not going to work, as you've seen with Obama over the last 7.5 years. And 8 years, coming up 8 years. So if you're going to vote for a Democratic president, also vote for Democratic senator and Democratic House of Representatives. You got to give him or her, the new president for 2016, people to work with. People to get things done. People who are on the same page, are of the same accord. You have to give the new president, which I think is going to be Bernie Sanders, because he's overtaking, he has overtaken Hillary Clinton in Iowa and New Hampshire. And she's just, she's got her underwear in a knot. I mean, she's really going after Bernie Sanders. She is really going after him. But overall, Hillary Clinton nationally is leading Bernie Sanders. But my understanding is Iowa and New Hampshire are the telling states of who is going to be the next president of the United States. Hey, wow, the 347-857-1762. You want to call in, chime in on that, or just sit back and take a listen and just listen and enjoy the show. Author Maggie Katz will be on the show later. She's scheduled. Okay. Hopefully the cold weather or anything will not hinder her from coming on the show today. And I want to thank my guests. I still want to thank my guests of a few days ago. They were great. They were wonderful. I hope you stuck around for that and learned a lot on that. And they were wonderful. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It has been great. Wonderful. But it's cold. And I'm still thinking about that Powerball. I mean, I'm going to be in and out of this show today, and it's going to be talking about the Powerball more so than I am going to be talking about the State of the Union. It's the Powerball. It's money. I'll be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Much for sticking around and staying with me. Thank you so much for me through all the time that I've been on the air. You know, I've been on the air. I've got some stiff competition, man. I really have. And I still want to say that the State of the Union by the President will be on the air 9 Eastern tonight. And that's great. That's beautiful. That's great. I think the Republicans, they have a debate coming up, and two of the people have been dropped. Rand Paul has been dropped. Carly Fiorina has been dropped. Well, I actually think Rand Paul was pretty good in some of the debates. And it's just that his polling numbers just didn't add up, so they dropped him. Carly Fiorina, she deserves to be dropped because this lady did nothing but lie, totally lie. So she deserved what she got. She's not on the debate stage. Only thing she was, I can beat Hillary Clinton. I'm the only one that can beat Hillary Clinton. No, you're not. You can't beat anybody because you're not going to be in a debate, the Republican debate when it comes up. I'm doing a short story now on elder abuse. And I think elder abuse in Illinois, I mean, not just Illinois, but throughout the world is just awesome. It's just totally wrong and awesome. And just, when I say awesome, I mean it's happening everywhere all the time. And if you don't know what elder abuse is, I'm going to play this short clip right here. This short clip on elder abuse. I'll be right back. Thank you.
My name is Carol Howell, and I'm with UC Davis Center for Healthy Aging, and it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Laura Mosqueda. She is the Chief of Geriatrics at UC Irvine School of Medicine, and she's a professor of family medicine and holds the Ronald W. Reagan Endowed Chair in Geriatrics. She sees patients at the UC Irvine Senior Health Center and participates in research and education as well. And her topic today is on elder abuse.
Thanks, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about this important topic of elder abuse. It's going to be a challenging topic, though. This is something that we don't talk about very often, and I think we really need to start challenging everybody in our society to think about this issue of elder abuse and understand it a little bit more. It's challenging in a number of different ways. I want people to imagine what it's like in terms of what elder abuse really is, to really ponder what it means to people, to take it beyond just the fact that, oh, that's a real shame that this occurs in our society, but to understand it as the trauma it really is to the people who are directly affected by it and everybody who loves them. I want you to acknowledge that this really exists, and I'm going to prove it to you as we talk today. And I want you to believe two things. I want you to believe that anyone can be a victim and anyone can be a perpetrator. And this, I think, is particularly challenging for us to really understand and take in. Well, what do we mean when we talk about elder abuse? There are a variety of categories of elder abuse as defined in state law in California, and I have them listed here on the screen: physical, sexual, financial abuse, neglect by other people towards somebody, neglecting yourself, issues of abandonment and abduction where people are actually taken across state lines, and psychological abuse. All of these types of abuse that I've just mentioned are reportable abuse. In other words, we are required, many of us, to report these to the state if we have a suspicion, although psychological abuse or emotional abuse is an optional report. We're going to focus in on the topic of physical abuse, neglect, and some issues related to sexual abuse as well. I'm going to go through a few examples, and unfortunately I have to tell you that these examples are based on real cases that I have been involved in. Here's an example of financial abuse. A 55-year-old woman who threatens her mother, if you don't sign on the dotted line to pay for my car, you're going to go into a nursing home. Another example, a 30-year-old man who befriends a widow. She's lonely, she's depressed, she lost her husband less than a year ago. And what people who are sort of predators will often do is find a hole, a gap, an emotional need somebody has, and fill that. And what does he do? He obtains the password for her ATM card and offers to help her buy groceries. And then he also helps himself to cash so that he has some for his own spending to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars over a period of a year. Examples of physical abuse, pulling somebody's hair, in fact, dragging somebody by their hair across a carpet, throwing food or objects at somebody, denying access to pain medication, slapping, hitting, punching. A recent case I'm involved in involves a 16-year-old girl who was punching her grandmother in the face. These are the sad realities of what's going on. One of the more hidden types of abuse that I'd like to bring to your attention has to do with neglect. And before I give you some examples of neglect, I think it deserves a little bit of an explanation. When we talk about neglect, we're talking about a relationship, somebody who has assumed responsibility or care and custody for another individual who's unable to care for themselves. And when this person who has assumed this responsibility does not provide appropriate care, such as basics, food, clothing, and shelter, medical care, making sure the person's hygiene is reasonably taken care of, looking after things like health and safety hazards, when these things are not attended to in a reasonable way, we call this neglect. Here are some of the examples that I've seen. People who are lying in urine and feces, and I don't just mean a dirty diaper for a few minutes here or there. I mean people who are lying in their own urine and feces for hours, days, weeks at a time. People who have very elongated, filthy nails, matted hair, living in filthy conditions. People who are not fed or given fluids and they become malnourished and dehydrated. It's not good enough for somebody who's unable to get around to just leave some food at the bedside if they can't reach for it and feed themselves. People who develop deep open wounds that we call pressure sores, sometimes all the way down to their bones, because no one has repositioned them and they're unable to move on their own. These are some examples of neglect that we see. Well, how common is this problem of elder abuse? It's a great question, but it's a very hard one to answer. As you can imagine, it's hard to just knock on somebody's door and say, is anybody abusing grandma? So the question then becomes, how do we figure out how common a problem it is? We also need to understand that there are some difficulties in establishing abuse related to people's reluctance to even admit it's occurring. Not only can we not knock on the door to ask if anybody's abusing grandma, but grandma might not want to tell us if there's abuse going on. She might be ashamed that her own grandson is doing this to her. Many older adults fear losing their independence and, in fact, would rather remain at home in an abusive situation than go to a facility such as a nursing home. Again, a very sad reality. And unlike children, older adults can just sort of fade quietly away in our society and nobody thinks about it, nobody questions it. With kids, if they don't show up at school, we wonder what has happened to them. But we're very accepting of older adults sort of disappearing, oh, they got sick and you never see them again. So it's hard to know really what's going on sometimes. People who are being abused might be so incapacitated physically, cognitively, emotionally, that they're unable to even report that they're being abused. So people might be too incapacitated to report, but the other thing that sometimes occur is that signs of abuse may be missed or mistaken for usual aging. After all, it's pretty common to have bruises as we get older. It's not uncommon to have a hip fracture, and so it can be really difficult to tell whether or not some of these injuries were a result of abuse or just something that happened by mistake. So I'm going to give you our best guess or guesstimate in terms of how common abuse is, but we also want to recognize that it probably is an underestimate. The best study we have so far is called the National Elder Abuse Incidence Study, published 10 years ago now, 1998, where there was some attempt to quantify the problem. And this is what they found, is that in a one-year period, there were 236,000 reports of seniors abused at home and 50,000 reports of abuse in nursing homes. I want you to really pay attention to this because one of the common myths is that abuse occurs in nursing homes and it's really not an issue in society, when the reality is that the vast majority of abuse occurs in private homes and the most common perpetrator is a family member. What did they learn? Well, not only do you have 236,000 reports of abuse in the community, 50,000 in nursing homes, but for every report of abuse, at least five, some people think maybe triple that, go unreported. So when you look at the numbers, you're talking about at least 1 million older adults in 1998 victims of abuse. This is a big problem. So what happens now when we start projecting out in terms of numbers of older adults who live in the United States? And let's take a look at a graph for just a moment to examine this issue. You can see that the number of people over the age of 65, of course, is rising at a very, very rapid rate. One of the wonderful things now is that our life expectancies have gone up in a very dramatic fashion in just the past 100 years. But pay attention in particular to this red line, people who are 85 and over. They are the most rapidly growing segment of our society in the United States. Their numbers of people over the age of 85 are growing at an exponential rate. Look at the way the number takes off after the year 2030, and that's not very far off. Why do we have a special category for elders? I mean, In California, the law is that after the age of 65 is when we call something elder abuse. Does that mean it's okay to abuse somebody when they're 64 and then on their birthday at 65 it becomes criminal? Well, the reason we really talk about this special category for elders is that as we grow older, we do become more vulnerable to mistreatment. And so it just becomes a practical matter to have kind of an age cutoff for it, which I think is a reasonable way to go. What are some of these vulnerabilities? Well, as we grow older, it might be harder to defend ourselves from being abused. It might be harder to defend yourself from somebody coming at you with a blow. So it might be harder physically to defend yourself. And certainly emotionally, it might be harder to defend yourself against some of the verbal attacks that can be landed at you. You also may be more dependent on others than you have in the past. We're all used to and enjoy being fairly independent creatures. And now if we begin to have some difficulty and we need help with very personal things like dressing, like grooming, like hygiene, all of a sudden there are more people involved in your life, more hands touching you, and again, vulnerabilities increase. There's also this fear that we talked about a few minutes ago, fear of losing your independence if a report is made. So now somebody might really be able to threaten you, sign over the house or I won't let you live in your own home anymore to help you stay in your own home. You'll have to go into a nursing home. Older adults are very susceptible to these sorts of threats, and that's quite easy to imagine. I want to spend just a moment talking to you about dementia as a special issue. I certainly have observed time and time again that people with dementia are particularly vulnerable to elder abuse. Alzheimer's disease, of course, is the most common type of dementia, and we need to recall that dementia is not just memory loss, but loss of other cognitive functions, so that people with a dementia certainly have short-term memory loss, but also have problems with things like judgment, reasoning, insight, language, difficulty comprehending things. And so you can imagine as people go through different stages of dementia, their risk of abuse also can be quite high. So in the early stages, when you're having memory trouble and difficulty comprehending things, people might have you sign on the dotted line and you might lose thousands of dollars, you might lose your house, other sorts of financial abuse that occurs. As people then move through the different stages of dementia and in the very end stage be very dependent, they may end up suffering from some very severe neglect. Dementia gets much more common as we grow older. So if you look at everybody over the age of 65, about 3-5% of people have a dementing illness. But past the age of 85, you're probably dealing with close to half of our population with dementia. And remember back to that slide we looked at a moment ago in terms of the growth of people over the age of 65, the growth of the number of people over the age of 85 in our society. People who have dementia may be unable to report abuse. You may no longer be able to use a telephone or know how to make a report. One thing that really scares me is we tend to really discount people who have dementing illnesses like Alzheimer's disease. So if a report is made, they're not believed. After all, they have a dementia. We really can't believe anything they say, and they get discounted. And people, particularly in the middle and later stages, may be unable to even recognize that they're being abused because they have such severe cognitive difficulties, they don't even comprehend the bad situation that they're in. Well, why is this happening? Why does elder abuse occur? And we don't really know the answer to this question, but I want to throw out a few possibilities for us to think about, and perhaps you can argue about them with some folks later on. Is it a mental illness problem, or is it a caregiver who has, say, a bipolar disorder or has schizophrenia or has some other sort of mental health problem that makes them unable to properly care for a loved one? Is it that we just live in a violent society, that now pushing and shoving and hitting people has become more commonplace, and this is now translating into older adults as well? Is it a sense of entitlement? I'm going to get that money anyway. I may as well get it sooner than later. Is it stress? Boy, I'm trying to take care of the kids. My husband wants dinner as soon as he gets home, and now I'm taking care of his mother, my mother-in-law, and I just can't handle all.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, we're back. We are back. Like I said before, I did a clip on the elderly. I'm going to be doing a book or a short story on that. Have it published sometime this year, so you guys look out for that. It's going to be, I don't know, old man something. Well, anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about it as the shows and the episodes progress. And I want to talk about the State of the Union that's coming up tonight. I want to talk about that again. I'm still waiting on Kathy Maggie Cast on the show. So things happen. I mean, cars break down, they freeze up in this cold weather. You know, if she doesn't show up, she doesn't show up. But I will understand because it's freezing. I'm freezing my ass off right here in Chicago. It is cold. Man, I'm dreaming of Florida, right? Anyway, the State of the Union address is tonight, 9 Eastern time. And the Republicans are already dissing his speech, Obama's speech, and they haven't even heard it yet. This is what has been going on just about his entire presidency of the United States. They have been obstructing him. They have been talking about him like a dog. I mean, like really racist dogs that they are. Some of them are. They have talked about Obama's family. I mean, his wife's children, called them monkeys and gorillas. The Republicans are just hideous people. Some of them. I know there's some good Republicans out there, so I can't lump them all. I can't generalize and lump them all in one basket. Only these fools out there who call themselves Republican. And then you got some Democrats who are secretly Republicans, you know. So this is something that you can expect from the Republicans. The Republicans can't get any lower than low. I mean, when you think the Republicans can get lower, they get even lower. You know, so to diss the guy, talk about the guy like he's nothing, disrespect Obama, the way that these people have over the years is just pathetic. I am not an Obama fan. I am not rooting and I am not trying to take up or defend Obama. Believe me, I'm not that much of a fan of Obama's. I voted for him twice. Okay, but I think there's some things he could have done a lot better for black people, but that's just me. But I hate to see Obama being trashed, disrespected, spit on, manured on by a bunch of people who can't even, you know, tie his shoelaces. Obama is a smart guy. He's an intelligent guy. He may not have many guts, but he's a smart, intelligent guy. He's not going to get anything done on gun control. He knows that. It's weakened. Some people said he has failed on that. You know, even he's saying that he probably can't do too much. So if you can't do too much or anything, why say you're going to do something when you know you can't? Actually, I think he can, but I just don't think he has the guts to do it because the Republicans are going to be in his ass. But still in all, the Republicans are some of the most vile people in the world. This is why I keep saying, vote. Do not just vote for a Democratic president. Vote for a Democratic representative. Vote for a Democratic senator. There's a lot of people out here saying that the Democrats are the cause of the worst economy there is. But check this out, the jobs report that came out a few days ago, the jobs report is at 5%. People are working. People have jobs. People are buying homes. Do not listen to the Republicans. If you listen to the Republicans, the world is coming apart. Everything's falling apart. Nothing's right. Nothing's working if you listen to them. They are a bunch of liars. They spin the truth. You got Fox News over there. I mean, these people get paid to lie. A lot of people tune into this show just to hear the lies, even though they know the reputation of Fox News. You know, so the best thing that we can do is to vote. And do not vote against your own interests. So many people vote against their own interests. If you're getting Social Security, you're on Medicaid, you're on food stamps, do not vote for a Republican. They're going to slash. They're going to take everything from you. If you have your kid in a daycare program. I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to say that I'm for all of these programs. So a lot of these programs I don't think should work. And a lot of times I don't think people should be getting food stamps at all, especially if they're strong and young and smart and can work. That's my thought. There's some people out there, oh, George, that's not right. There's some people who, there are people who have jobs and on food stamps. Well, then that's not my problem. Then get a better job and get off food stamps. If you're young, bright, and you're strong, get a better job. They're out there. If you don't have the skills, then go back to school and learn the skills and get yourself a better job. It's going to take time, of course, but you're young, you got time. What else? You got on your hands. You got a lot of time on your hands. So do these things. You got to find these things out for yourself. Okay, getting back to the Republicans, at least the awful ones, the State of the Union, they just like, I mean, they are really saying the State of the Union before they even hear it. They're dissing it, saying awful things about it. And they've done this several times. It's, every time Obama tried to make a speech, they've dissed it. They didn't like it and criticized it before a word was ever uttered from Obama's mouth. I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump could wind up being president of the United States. And you know what? I don't think he'll make that bad of a president. I really don't. I think he doesn't have cation. He doesn't have the poise. He doesn't have the intellect. He's not a statesman like candidate like Obama. You know, he's not bookish. You can tell that by the way he talks. Some people say he talks in a fourth grade manner, you know, and he does. He's just, you know, if you ask Trump about what he's going to do for the United States, what is he going to do for America, the only thing he says, I'm going to make America great again. I'm going to make America great again. I think America is great. I'm going to make it great again. That's about all he says. He doesn't talk about the economy. He doesn't talk about gun control. He doesn't talk about health care. He doesn't talk about infrastructure. No Republican does. He doesn't talk about what he's going to do for the American public. He doesn't talk about anything. I'm going to make America great again. That's it. Bing, that's it. I'm going to bring people together. That's it. He doesn't talk about foreign policy because he doesn't know anything about foreign policy. ISIS, well, they got to go. That's all I know. ISIS got to go. No more refugees, no more Muslims. That's about the extent of his foreign policy. Okay, we're still waiting for Maggie Cass to be on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and she has not showed up. But you know what? I don't blame her. It is cold. Maybe she'll contact me later and tell me why she didn't show up. Things happen. Things happen, you know? And so I hope you guys out there understand that things happen. So until she shows up, it'll be me and you and just me running off at the mouth. You know, I really enjoy the show. I really do. And I, like I said before, I've been wooed away from the show. They've been trying to take me away from the show. There'll be no television spots for me. I'm not going on TV. I don't think I have a face for television. So that's out of the box, fellas. That's not going to happen. If you're out there listening, don't even try it. All right. Okay, we just got through talking about the State of the Union by the Republicans, how awful they are. And you know what? They're going to continue to be awful. I want to say something about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois. I've talked about this governor probably just about in every show that I've ever produced. Every radio show, every talk show host, every show on Block Talk Radio. And I've always said he, even on Facebook and in some social media websites, I've castrated him, you know, because he's an awful governor. He's not doing his job. He's pretending to do his job. He's pretending and acting like he's doing his job. But as long as there isn't a state budget, and we're going into the seventh month, they're saying, could be years before we get a state budget in Illinois. That's a goddamn years. That means it will be years before the state pays its own bills. If you and I, we don't pay our bills, they're going to send us to a collection agency. And then we're going to get sued. But this, about several years from now, we may not have, and this is awful. This would not have happened if people would have gotten their asses out there and voted in Illinois. We would not have this crisis, because every day we don't have a budget, it is a crisis. And we've got Bruce Rauner, we've got the Illinois legislature. They don't like each other. They're blaming each other. And Bruce Rauner is good for that. He hasn't ran anything but a few nursing homes before he became governor of Illinois. And now he's telling people, trying to tell us what to think, how to think, and when to think, and who to like and who to dislike. Mr. Rauner, that's not going to happen. We know for a fact that you have not signed a lot of the budgets that the legislature have put on your desk that could have gotten us out of this mess. He's not doing his job. He is not doing his job. He is not doing his job. And now the state is functioning because of court order payments to certain agencies to keep the doors open in Illinois. Court order payments. That's the reason why we're still above water in Illinois, you know, because Rauner has cut so much, and he wants to cut so much, and he wants to stop spending here, and he wants to stop spending there. He stopped a lot of spending. He wants to stop spending to Medicare, Medicaid. People can't go to the doctor anymore because he wants to stop that spending. People who have appointments to see their doctor calls saying that your appointment has been canceled, or we're going to reschedule you. They're getting calls saying they're getting, every time their appointment comes up, they get a call saying, when that time comes up, they get another call and say, we're going to reschedule you again. And when that time comes up, when they're about to go, they're going to reschedule you. It's a runaround. It's a runaround. And this is happening to people on Medicaid. They get appointment after appointment after appointment, rescheduled after rescheduled after rescheduled, because they know they're not taking in patients. They're not calling you in for your appointment because they're not going to get paid from the state. So they keep giving you appointment after appointment after appointment, hoping that a state budget will be signed so then they can call you into the clinic or to the doctor's office where you can actually be taken care of. But a lot of us are going to be done died by then. And now Rauner wants to stop court-ordered state payments to Medicaid. He wants to stop all the payments that are being made to Medicaid and other programs. He really wants to take this state under. How is he going to stop court-ordered payments to the state of Illinois? He's not God. He's not the king. He can't do that. This is the law. How is he going to circumvent the law? He's just the governor. He's just a billionaire. He's going to buy the court system. Is that what it is? He's going to buy his way. He wants to stop court order payments. And that's, and without a budget and no budget, you know, if he somehow can do that, Illinois is finished. It's over. It's finished. We're over the cliff. And I don't think he can do it. A lot of other critics are saying he cannot do that. Who the hell does he think he is? He just can't take a magic wand and stop payments, court-ordered payments, because he's governor. And the only reason why he's governor, he's bought the office. I said this before in the other shows. He paid for the office. Secondly, people did not vote. That's one of the main things why he's in office. They didn't vote. And I hope people, I do hope people learn from this and get out there November 2016, a brand new year. Tell yourself, one of the resolutions you're going to tell yourself, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote. I know there's a lot of people out there with religions. Oh, my religion. I can't revote my religion. If I vote, they're going to throw me out of my religion. If you don't vote, the Republicans are going to throw you out. Because these are some devious, these are devious ass people. I ain't gonna lie. These are some devious ass people. Okay, it looks like my guest, Maggie Cass, will look like she's not going to show up because, I don't know, maybe we got about 40 more minutes into the show. Who knows? Anything could happen. So I'm just ranting, and not actually ranting, but trying to tell people to vote. Everybody's trying to get Rahm Emanuel out of City Hall in Chicago, get him thrown out, get him recalled. But we're going to also have to put our focus on Bruce Rauner. I think Bruce Rauner is a lot worse than Rahm Emanuel. I really do. I mean, Rahm Emanuel with this Laquan Jackson thing. McDonald. The young kid who was shot 16 times in Chicago, and they're saying that Rahm Emanuel covered it up so he can win the election. If you don't know about that, I suggest you research it. But I think that we should stop focusing on Rahm Emanuel and focus on Bruce Rauner, or just focus on them both. You know, we got to do something about Bruce Rauner. He's ruining the state. He wants to ruin the state. He doesn't have a clue of government. He wants to do government the way he wants government to run. He can't do that. People have told him constantly, and he knows this, he is not the king of Illinois. He is not a dictator. He's a politician. He can have his ass thrown out. But he does. Obviously, he's got his billionaire friends. He's got turncoat Democrats telling him to hang in there, hang in there. Hang in there to do what? To destroy the state? To destroy the state? That's all I can see he's doing. And now he's blaming what's the guy's name? Michael Madigan, the speaker of the House in the Illinois legislature. That's all they do is blame each other. They can't work together. I mean, of course they can. It's Republican and Democrat. They can't work together. Rauner wants to bust unions. And Madigan say, hell no, I'm not going to let you do that. You're going to hurt the middle class that way. So in some cases, Madigan feels that he is protecting the middle class from this bully Rauner. And Rauner wants to bust unions. I mean, he really want to take them down. And he's adamant about that. And he's got a few Democrats on his side, which is crazy. I've said this before. Democrats do not stick together. I mean, they are wayward when it comes to trying to do something for the people that voted their asses in office. Now, on the other side, the Republicans stick together. I mean, they stick together. I mean, they're always one. But them, they cannot do it. That's why they lose. They lose. And then when they lose, they're spinning and lying and defending themselves, which doesn't work. It doesn't work. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I say this all the time, every time on the radio. I should have it down pat, but sometimes I have to look up and read it. 347-857-1762. Sit back and just listen. We're still waiting on Maggie Cass on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let me see what we got here. I will be right back. Stay with me, people. Thank you. Time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right. We're back. Thank you for returning with me. Smart quiz question today. I'm going to bring back the smart quiz question. I've And some of the shows, in the, some of the past shows, I didn't include or incorporate the smart quiz questions into the show because I was just so busy. It, I mean, having a radio show and booking and getting guests round up for the show and digging up things and researching things to talk about on the show, I was just so busy, and I thought, I said, well, I got to get the smart quiz questions back into the show. So the smart quiz question is, what is, most of it's coming from the Constitution. Smart quiz question for today is, what is the supreme law of the land? I try to get the easy ones. And I know my audience is smart and bright and intelligent, and I really do know that. Okay, once again, smart quiz question. What is the supreme law of the land? I should have that for you in about, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, here's some more on elder abuse.
We do a lot of stories on family, and we know families with loved ones in a nursing home often wonder, are they really okay? And it's a nightmare if we believe that they're being mistreated. We have a horrific example of what can go wrong. Her colleague Jane Velez Mitchell brought this story tonight, to light, that is, last night on Issues. Let's get you the story. Tragic story. 78-year-old Lois McAllister is her name. She has Alzheimer's disease. Lois was allegedly being harassed by workers at the nursing home. But before a camera was put in the room and the video was available, the family thought, really, everything was okay.
Mary, when did your mother first tell you that workers were abusing her, and what exactly did she say to you?
It was in early March. She kept saying that she was being hurt. Her arms were being pulled and twisted. She was being punched. So I went to an administrator and told them what my mother had told me, and she got back to me and told me that it was due to her a change in her mental status.
So in other words, they were suggesting her dementia had gotten worse. The family couldn't trust mom here. Well, the family didn't take any chances, put a camera in the room. Here's what they saw. Now, it's dark video, tough to see what's happening here. And this video given to us, by the way, by Haverford Township Police Department. Lois's daughter, son-in-law, they allege this is mom being taunted, mocked, sometime when she wasn't even fully clothed. Now, Lois's daughter and son-in-law, they saw this video. Obviously, they were furious, but just heartbroken.
I don't know what joy you can derive from harming an elderly person, especially one who's depending on you to take care of them. You know, we trusted them to take good care of her, and they didn't do it.
What a great point. Who does that? Who has the heart or lack thereof to do that? Now, three workers have been charged here with aggravated assault, criminal conspiracy, neglect of a dependent person, harassment, and reckless endangerment. They've lost their jobs, from what we understand. We do have a statement or part of the statement from the company that runs the nursing home, Sunrise Senior Living. Here's part of it saying, we cherish each and every resident we serve and take these allegations very seriously. We've cooperated closely with law enforcement. They go on to say the three individuals involved in this incident have been dismissed from their jobs. And despite the unacceptable actions of a few, please remember that the Quadrangle is filled with many great and compassionate caregivers and are dedicated to delivering superior care to hundreds of residents. But Lois McAllister's family, not satisfied with the company's response, they're filing a lawsuit against the Senior Living Center. Once again, bring in my colleague, Jane Velez Mitchell, who did a great job bringing this story to light. Jane, I know this is near and dear to your heart and mine. Your mom's in her 90s. My dad's in his mid to upper 80s now. And how do we? I think people see this, they're shocked, they go, how do we make sure a loved one in a situation like this is going to be okay?
Well, thank God for nanny cams and hidden cameras, because this may have been going on forever, and now, due to modern technology, we're starting to see what happened. Now, the family, Paul and Mary French, says when they went to management of this nursing home, they were told, well, she has Alzheimer's. Essentially, she's not really a credible witness. They, of course, deny that. But that's the problem, in essence, if you're dealing with people who are disabled in some way. How can they defend themselves? How can they say stop it or go and complain when they may not be considered to have a lot of credibility? There was another example in the Los Angeles area not too long ago that was also caught on tape, and these were profoundly disabled women being raped on camera. It was caught on camera that they were being raped by some of the people who worked there, and it was just absolutely horrifying video. And then come to find out that a huge percentage of people who work in nursing homes and these kinds of facilities have criminal records. So obviously there is some kind of problem there with monitoring these people and, of course, allowing the people who live there to have a certain modicum of privacy as well. You want to have cameras on them 24/7 and have strangers looking at them. But then again, does every family member want to have to resort to putting a hidden camera in to monitor the situation? I don't necessarily have the answer, but obviously this is a problem that is more than just an isolated incident here or there. We're now hearing too many of these kinds of stories.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to make a phone call to the Alzheimer's Association, and some of their tips are very good. In other words, if you make the difficult decision to have a family member go into a nursing facility, you're still a caregiver. Visit often, go there often, make a relationship, have a strong relationship with those that are your parents or your loved ones, caregivers, and find out who is going to be the caregiver. The shifts change and things like that, because we want to be so in touch and be in tune with our relatives, and I think that's an important point here, Jane.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm not saying that these three young women who were arrested in this latest case in Pennsylvania have criminal records or rap sheets. I don't know, but I do think there should be a law that says you shouldn't be able to work in a nursing home if you've got a rap sheet. This is a population that, again, cannot defend itself. They're essentially voiceless and helpless. So why are we having people who have perhaps a proclivity towards violence or inappropriate behavior watching them?
I think that's an excellent point. I think that's another fact that you brought out that's shocking to so many, that so many that have been convicted of crimes are taking care of those that we love so much. Jane, again, great job on this. Always good talking to you. And I know you and I are, since it's so close to our hearts, we're going to keep following this story.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Yeah, I want to say something else about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois. Today actually marks the his 1 year anniversary as governor of Illinois. That, to me, is not good. I mean, how can you celebrate or feel good about that when he's taken the state damn near over the cliff? When he wants to stop court ordered state payments to crucial agencies in Illinois. So how could you feel good about that? I mean, how can you celebrate with this guy? This is the worst year in the history of Illinois. He's not good for Illinois. That's no doubt about that. He is not good for Illinois, and his poll numbers show that. People all over the state, politicians, professionals, teachers, I mean, nobody likes this guy. But he's got people whispering in his ear, hang in there, hang in there. You're going to hang in there. You're going to hang out. People have to stop, get up off their duffs. Yeah, I mean, they're talking about we may not have a budget until the end of his term, which is maybe 3 years from now. End of his term, is that something? And he's going to be giving a state budget address. Man, this is going to be full of lies, full of spin, full of everything. It basically, mostly, it's going to be filled with blaming the other guy, blaming the Democrats. And the Democrats are going to be blaming Rauner. However, the majority of the people of Illinois, they blame Rauner because they know if this guy had not been elected, we would not be in this mess that we're in. He's claiming to want to take us out of it. He wants to make this a business-friendly town. It's already a business-friendly town. It was a business-friendly state before he even was elected. He wants control. He wants control. He knows if he gets controlled, he can get throw the Democrats out and put the Republicans, his Republican buddies, in because he has the money. He has the money. And let me say this again to all of those who were expecting, who were expecting Maggie Cass to be on the show, author Maggie Cass. Maybe she decides she wants to come on tomorrow. I don't know, but I have to get in touch with her if so. Majority of the time, if someone's not on the show who promised to be on the show, who was scheduled to be on the show, I don't contact them. I don't say anything. They're just gone. I wish them all the luck in the world. You're gone. Okay, because this is a great show. This is a popular show. I love this show. It's always going to get better and better and better and better. I've had people say, George, you need a co-host on your show. Well, you know, things take time. It'll happen. It can happen right now. That's fine. You need a co-host. You know, I don't think so. I mean, I've heard other radio talk show hosts. Sometimes they have guests like I do. Sometimes they do not, just like I do. And it's your show. It's my show. If I can't handle it alone sometimes, I don't need to have a show. It's great to have a co-host. It's great to have guests on the show. And I want those things. But I also want to be able to go at it alone if I have to. It's fun either way. It's fun either way. Because it's my show. People are going to call in to listen to me no matter what. You know, I mean, they're going to disagree with some of the things I say, some of the things I'm about, some of the things that I'm for. That's fine. That's okay. Disagreement is great. I love it when people disagree. Because when people disagree with something I say, that's a conversation. Because all you got to do is tell me why you disagree. And maybe you may have a good point, and I may turn my belief around or change what I think because of what you tell me. You know, I admit a lot of the things I say are ridiculous, but a lot of things I say are not ridiculous. And a lot of people like to tune in. I mean, because I listen to talk shows myself, and I listen to them, and sometimes I don't even call in. I mean, I'll listen, but I won't call in. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who listen to other talk show hosts, other talk shows, but they don't call in. They just sit back and relax, and they listen. However, if there's a topic that interests them and they just have to say something, hey, they call. They call. Basically, this is a political show. This is about politics. However, you know, I try to, and I want to, diversify the show. Just about anybody with anything to say can be on the show. I want to get some politicians on the show. You know, but that's, you know, we're still trying to do that. We're still trying to do that. And that can happen. That can happen. We can get some politicians on the show. I will still have authors on the show. Anybody who's written a good book, whether it's on relationships, sex, or whatever, or it's politicians, or it's, you know, but I don't do vampire books, all right? I did a few in the past, but that's over. I'll do fiction because I'm a fiction writer. I will do romance every now and then. I'll do political books. I'll do, you know, whatever. But this is more like a variety show. You know, I'll do shows on your health or something. Anything that benefits my audience, you know. And it works out. It works out. Like I said before, let me get back to Rauner. He's going to be giving us budget address. I don't know why he's going to give a budget address. There is no budget. How in the hell can you talk about it when you refuse to have a budget? You know, so once he gives that budget address, I will be on the show and I will let you guys know what is he talking about, because I know a lot of you guys are not listening to me just in Illinois. You're listening to me all across the world. You are. You are. And we have one of the worst governors in the world. A lot of people would disagree with me on that, but then a lot of people would agree, especially the folks of Illinois. And now they're saying that we may not have a budget here in Illinois until he leaves office. That's crazy. And he wants to try to stop court-ordered payments to agencies that are dire and critical for the state of Illinois. He wants to stop them. He's complaining that, you know, the deficit is going up. That's because we don't have a budget. People are leaving Illinois. Businesses are leaving Illinois. People are fed up, and they're leaving. Not only because of the crime in Chicago, but also Bruce Rauner and Mary Emanuel. People don't like these two guys. But, you know, Rauner's got that little angel in his ear telling him, don't give up, don't give up, don't give in. He's going to give up and give in when he finds out that there's a recall petition circling around and people are signing it. And recall is on the Illinois Constitution. It is in there for the governor. Okay? I mean, Illinois is just going down the tube. Tuition, student loans are just getting worse for students. Students are being rattled with debt because of the state budget. A lot of these public schools like universities and colleges, they're not getting money. So they have to making it worse on the colleges and the universities because these guys can't seem to agree on getting a budget. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And they're letting it get worse. Madigan's reasons is that he doesn't want to hurt the middle class. But the middle class is hurting already. We're all hurting because these guys can't seem to get their acts together and the people are in the middle. You know, so I'm just hoping, that we have a budget soon, but it doesn't look that way. I mean, these guys are steadfast. They are steadfast in their positions. They're steadfast in their ways, and they don't give a damn about the people of this state. I think Madigan should have his ass thrown out along with Bruce Rauner. They should be out on the same curb. However, it's going to take the people of Illinois, their duffs, and do something. We're trying to get rid of Rahm Emanuel. We got to do the same thing with Bruce Rauner. But he's standing tough because there's people whispering in his ear to stand tough. His wife protests to be a Democrat. How come she isn't talking and against a lot of the things that her husband is doing? Because she's not a Democrat. She's a Democrat closet Republican. That's it. That's the way it is. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And it's 7:14 straight up. It's 7:14 p.m. straight up in Chicago. I think it's about, wow, it's cold outside, about 10 or 15 degrees outside. It is cold. And they're talking about it getting even colder tonight as the night goes on. So it's cold. And if it's cold where you are, please keep warm. Please bundle up. Put something on your head, girls. And stay healthy. Stay healthy. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for archiving the show. Thank you for all your feedback, all your positive feedback. Thanks for supporting me on my writings. If you want to check out my writings, my books, essays, whatever, go to Amazon.com, George Wilder Jr. Bingo. There it is. You know, support me in any way you can. All right. Be right back. Thank you, everybody. We'll be right back. Okay, I was just told, I was just handed something, and it says that Ted Cruz is going to skip the State of the Union message, Obama's State of the Union speech, I should say. Ted Cruz is going to miss it because he said it's the same old, same old. Ted Cruz is not even eligible to be president of the United States. I don't know why people are so afraid to say that. He was not born in the United States. The Constitution says you have to be a natural born citizen of the United States before you can run for president. Ted Cruz unleashed so much demagoguery on Obama, and now he's running for president. He's leading in some polls. He's leading Trump. Ted Cruz is the most dangerous guy out there. He's more dangerous than Donald Trump. This guy is crazy. He's a loon. And now he's saying he's going to miss Obama's speech, Obama's last speech of his presidency. This is his last speech, they say. And he's going to miss it because he's an asshole. That's why he's going to miss it. No other reason than that. He's an asshole. And he's getting media attention because of he's going to miss the speech. Who cares if he comes to the speech or not? Who gives a damn? He's not going to be president of the United States anyway. Even if he was a natural-born citizen, the guy is a loon. He's going to miss it like that. So, like, that's a big deal. Like that is breaking news, you know? Who cares? He's a loon. He's not eligible to be president. He wasn't born in the United States of America. Well, they're trying to say what they're trying to say now. Well, some people are saying he is eligible. And I think they're crazy, but they're saying that he is eligible because his mom was born in the United States. His mother was born in the United States. But his mother traveled to Canada where Ted Cruz was born in Canada. That doesn't make any sense. Just because his mother was an American and his mother gave birth to Ted Cruz, boy, that's something. In Canada, he is a citizen of Canada. He was born in Canada, not the United States. And so many people are trying to say, yeah, he's a citizen. I don't agree with it. Even some of the well-educated and scholars and law professionals of the United States are saying that this guy is not eligible. But you got some people who say, yeah, he's eligible because his mom was an American. Yeah, his mother was born in America, but he wasn't. There's documentation to that. And when you ask Ted Cruz about his citizenship, he ducks it. He ducks it because he knows that he's not eligible to run. So if he's not eligible to run, why is he wasting his time? Why is he wasting his time? Even if he gets the nomination to run for president, a lot of people are going to sue him. They're going to sue him to stop him from taking office because there's so much documentation, birth certificates, and other official documentation saying that he was not born in America. He is not a natural-born citizen. People do not understand, especially the ones who are saying that he is a natural-born citizen. He's not. His mother is a natural-born citizen, but Ted Cruz is not. So who gives a damn about him coming or not going to the State of the Union address, the last address of Obama's presidency? Who cares? But my thing is, who are these people that's saying that he is a United States citizen when he clearly is not? He clearly is not. But he is a dangerous man. He is, I don't even see how he became, I think he's senator, I'm not sure. So I don't see why he became a United States politician. I just don't see how that, but I'm pretty sure there's something in the Constitution to that, you know. So, but he is not eligible to be president. If he becomes president and someone says, I'm going to eat my shoe. 347-857-1762. That's the George Wilder Jr. Show call in line. If you want to use it, use it. If you don't, sit back and just enjoy the show, because I'm having a great time. I try to have a great time at everything I do, because I think if I'm having a good time, whether I'm writing or I'm on the radio and you're listening and you're reading, you're going to have a good time too. Because this show is all about you, not me, you. I've had guests on the show. George, how did I have many listeners on your show? Was there many people listening? Did I get you your high ratings? And I always tell people, when my guests are on the show, most people who call in and most people who are listening, they are listening to the guests. They call in and they listen, or they sit back and they relax and they listen to the guests, not me. You know, because every guest I try to have on the show, I try to promote them to being on the show. I try to let people know that this certain person is going to be on the show. And if they're interested in that certain person, they will tune in to the show live, or they will archive it later at their own convenience. I try to tell guests that call into the show, they're calling in, or they're listening, or if they're just listening, they're listening to you. They want to know what you can tell them. They want to know how they can better their life by listening to whatever you have to tell them. But it's all fun and it's all good and everything. So we got 7:22. We got about 8 minutes left into the show. I'm going to try and open some people's eyes here. So, you know, because sometimes we need our eyes open a little bit. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. Hang in there with me. All right.
Lord.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for being with me all through this show and all the other episodes. And if you want to listen to any episode of this show you want at any time, at any point, always go come to Black, if I can say it. All right. If you want to listen to any of my shows, they're always available on Block Talk Radio. Just put in George Wilder Jr., blocktalkradio.com. There I am, and listen to any show you want. They're all good. They're all great, especially the ones with guests and even the ones without a guest. There's so much information to be had on the George Wilder Jr. Show. So archive, listen, download, keep for yourself. It's your show. Oh, someone just whispered in my ear, as always, 90 seconds. But it's been a blast. I just love it. And don't forget to check out all of my works on Amazon.com. Books. I'm a writer, a fiction writer. Sometimes I do nonfiction. But check that stuff out. You know, it's all great. It's all good. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. Yeah, as of this date, Obama will be giving his last State of the Union address tonight, 9 Eastern tonight. This is Tuesday, 1-12-16. And this is the last State of the Union. And the Republicans are saying, at least some of them are saying, they're not coming. Who cares? They've done nothing but obstruct. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. signing off. Bye-bye, everybody.